Praise God. Praise God. Have you heard his calling in the night? Have you listened to hear his calling in the night? And if so, what is your answer? I'm too busy, Lord. I got to work tomorrow. Or I will go. I will go if you leave me. That's what he's waiting to hear. I will go, being obedient to the call. Here I am, Lord. Paul said it a different way. Paul said it on the road to Damascus. He said, what do you want me to do? That yielding, that giving up, that surrendering to the call of God, that is what he asked us to do. To surrender, to just give it up. Forget our way and choose his way. Will you follow him if he leads you? Well, he's already set down the precedence. He's already showed us which way to go. And through his word, we get those directions constantly. So, is it I, Lord? That's the question that you must answer for yourself. You must make the decision to follow him. Is it I, Lord? I will go if you lead me. Therefore, he said in Matthew 28, all power on heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you go. Go and make disciples. That was the mandate that he left for us. So when we hear that calling, we go. Abraham didn't ask where, didn't ask what direction. He just got up and went, and God showed him when he got there. Are we bold enough to step out in faith? Are we bold enough to step out in faith? Have we surrendered? Have we decided to follow him wherever he leads? He's calling. He's calling. But it's up to you to answer that call. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. Let me go. I want to be a part of whatever your divine plan is. That's our heart's desire. So that's where we are. Then I want to talk to you this morning about what you have and what you're good at. The things you're good at. And those things that you have and whatever it is that you're good at, those are the things that you want to give thanks for. You want to give thanks for those things. That is one of the places that we fall down sometimes. We don't respond well to the question, how you doing today? Not so good. I got this. We got to get away from belittling ourselves, because we are God's most valuable treasure. God gave his life for us, so it means that we're worth a lot. So when we cut ourselves down, we're going against him, against his desire for us to be the best that we can be. So let us begin to speak our future, speak our destiny, as opposed to being in opposition to where God wants us to be. You see, when we say I can't or I don't have, it is presenting a position of lack. You don't have. I can't. Well, I don't have the ability. I don't have the. You don't have. That's a position of lack. So who's getting the praise from that? Not God, because only blessings come from God, not lack. So you see, there is, again, that option that we fail to realize that we existed, that there is only up and down. There's only in and out. There's only good and bad. I'm saying that we don't have that, well, I'm almost here, and you either in or you're out. So you're either praising God or you're giving the other fellow the credit. That's it. That's all the choices we have, God or him. So when we say, oh, I can't, We're praising him. And we say, oh, I'd never praise the devil. But we do it out of just not understanding our position in Christ. Because the word tells us that through Christ, I can do all things. Can't is not part of your vocabulary. I can do all things. Well, prove it to me. I don't have to. I just know that I can. You see what Jesus did? You see what Jesus did? If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't have to prove it to you. It came out of the mouth of God, so I believe it. It came out of the mouth of God. I believe it. That's where we stand. You can't fall off the Empire State Building and live. Nobody can. I can. Are you insane? Do you know how many stories that is? Do you know what that will do to your body? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, go up there and do it then, Bill. I don't have to. I just know I can. I don't have to prove that to you. God said, I can do all things. And through him, I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious in everything that I do because I am a child of God. You see where I'm going with this morning? What we have is the word of God and his promises. But we have to use them. And we have to use the things that he has provided us with. And therefore, we give thanks for those things that we have and those things that we can do. We give thanks. Watch in the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Is given to every man to profit withal. The gifts and the substance that you have is not only for you, it is to be shared with everyone. It is for the benefit of the whole. That's what he's saying here. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, in another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirit. To another, diverse different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Severally as he wills. So what he is saying here is, you can do several things, but there is a specialty that you excel in. And that is where you give thanks to the ability to get up and put your clothes on, the ability to walk out the door and get in your car and drive away, for having a car to get in to drive away. You want to give thanks for all of the things that God has supplied for you because they are a gift from God. Everything comes from God. On our own, we can do nothing. but through him, all things are possible. This is where we have to live, ladies and gentlemen. We have to live in that frame of mind that we are God's best. We are what God put his breath into. You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke everything into existence until he came to us on that sixth day. It says that he got down and made a man out of mud. He put his hands in it. He put his hands in it. And once he finished that, it says that he breathed into his nostrils. He gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Man became part of God. We are God's best. We have to apply ourselves. We have to accept that responsibility of being God's best and put forth God's spirit and God's word wherever we go and whatever we do. Watch. In the book of Exodus, chapter 4, it says that Moses ran away from a life of luxury. Moses being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the richest kid in the neighborhood. Or we should say one of them, because there were some more kids in the palace. But Moses being one of the richest kids in the neighborhood, he ran away from that to become a backwoods shepherd. But God called him. God called Moses. And when God called Moses, Moses did what we do. Oh, I can't do that. I ain't got nothing. He belittled himself. He argued with God. I got nothing. I am nobody. And watch what God did. In verse 2 of chapter 4 of Exodus, watch what God said. So the Lord said to him, God said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" What is that in your hand? Like I asked this woman, what do you have? What you got? Moses said, a rod. Moses said, I got a stick. In other words, a stick, a shepherd's tool. That's all I got. I got this stick. This is what I got. And God said, okay, I'm sending you. You and the stick. And God took that stick, that rod, and made it power in the hands of Moses. Moses got to Egypt. Every time Moses raised that stick, something happened. 10 plagues Moses raised. I'm going to have to back up. 9 plagues Moses raised the stick. Because the first one, he didn't raise the stick. He tapped the water in the Nile River, and all the water in Egypt turned to blood. But the stick was involved in everything. And when he left there, he raised the stick, and the Red Sea opened up, and they walked across on dry ground. He defeated armies with the stick. When he raised the stick, Israel would prevail. They would begin to win. Moses' arm get tied and he let the stick down. The Ammonites would begin to win. Then he figured out, I got to hold the stick up. So he holds the stick up till his arms get so tight he can't hold it up no more. And then Aaron and Hur comes up and sit beside him and holds his arms up so that the stick will stay up. And as long as the stick is up, Moses is winning. Israel is winning. I'm talking about when you think you got nothing, God has given you what you need to work with. Whatever you have, God can use. Somebody said it earlier this morning that when bad things happen, God turns it into good. But you have to understand, the power was not in the stick. The power was Moses' faith in God. It was Moses' faith in God that made the stick work. I'm talking about you got to have your part. You can't just lay on the couch and say, I got it. No, you got to get involved. And you might notice again that the stick was never used for Moses' personal business. The stick was always used for the good of the people. And this is something that we have to understand, that when God gives us a gift, that we use it for the people. Share it with others. Oh, I sing like a bird, but I don't sing in public. I sing in the shower. Well, you're not using God's gift according to the purpose that he gave it for you. He gave it so you could sing to the people so that they could find comfort and entertainment or enjoyment from that singing. You have to use your gift. You have to hone your gift. And some of us might wonder, what is my gift? I don't even know what my gift is. You have to first trust God and listen to God's call. And when he called, answer and trust him. Because all of the work that you do with God's gift, you must understand that God is working through you with the gift. It is not you doing anything with the gift. It is God working through you with the gift. This is important for us. You see, because we're all valuable in the eyes of God. And therefore, he has given each one of us a mission. And sometimes we go through life and we never fulfill our mission because we never stop long enough to find out what it was and listen to God as he would direct us to put it in use. This is our part in life, that we must always understand that God gives different gifts to different people to do different services. But we all have to yield. He will not force us. He will not make us do that. He doesn't want robots. He wants volunteers. People will say, here I am, Lord. Where do you want me to go? Send me. I'll do it. Can I help? What must I do? God wants us to be willing. And you know, a lot of times, if you will submit and present yourself, you don't even have to do what you think is necessary. God will fix it, but you are willing. Well, sister Mary, I'll be over and help you with that just as soon as I can get my pants on. And by the time you get your pants on and get over there, Sister Mary said, oh, well, thank you for coming, but Billy Bob stopped by and just did it right away. See, God sent some before you, but you were willing. You just need to be willing sometime. And when these things happen, we have to acknowledge what just took place. Okay, now God sees that I'm willing. Now he's going to give me a chore. Test wasn't for God. God knew what you was going to do. The test was for you to get you ready. But you have to be ready. This is what I'm talking about. We have to listen for the voice of God. Feel his presence. Answer his call. And be obedient. And trust in him. Different gifts. Different people for different services. That is what he does. Each man a gift. Something that you are good at. And then we look at our neighbor and we say, boy, isn't so-and-so dumb. I was trying to show him how to do this. See how easy it is? They couldn't do it. That's not their thing. They can do many other things, but that just throws them. They'll make them dumb. Just makes them unable to complete that the way you do. Give them time and they can. give them time they can. But now if they take their specialty and try to teach it to you, then you will be just where they are because you couldn't do it. Does that make you dumb now? Oh, well, no, I never tried that before. Okay, this is where you have to go. And this is, again, how we falter in our relationship with Christ. You see, because every time you talk about somebody, you're talking about God's child. You talk down about God's child and then go next door and say, oh, God, be a reward of this, that, that. But you just low-rated, belittled his child. Put it in real time. How would you feel if somebody came up in your face and told you how rotten and how undeserving and how stupid your kid was? You know, I don't understand it. The boy is just dumb. He's crazy. He can't do this. He can't do that. I don't know why you didn't drown him when he was a baby. You talk down to him. And then they say, okay, now that I've low-rated your son, would you give me $10 to go get? You're going to say, are you crazy? You just low-rated my son. Now you're asking me for a gift? This is what we do. We talk about each other behind our backs, and then we go right into the next room and drop down on our knees and say, oh, God, please say. God said, can't help you right now. You got to get your mind right. Understanding that different gifts for different people to do different things. We're all not wired the same or alike. Watch. In the book of Kings, 2 Kings, in chapter 4, verse 2, is where I want to start reading. But this is a woman shows up to Elijah. Her husband just died. And the creditors is coming to take her two sons for slaves to pay off the debt. And she goes to Elijah for help, for assistance. And it says here in verse 2, when she shows up and asks Elijah for help, Elijah says, so Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. I hope you're paying close attention to the reading of what the lady said. She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a little jar of oil. Now here's a lady who has a house. Her husband just died. I'm sure some of his old stuff is still in there. The old clothes, shoes, tools, something. She's got two sons. And she, they're in this house, but she got nothing in the house but a jar of oil. This is for our example. This is written for our example. You see, because the woman violated everything that God loves, which is truth. She got nothing. We have to define what she's talking about here. What she is saying, in essence, is the least valuable thing in my house is a jar of oil because I want to keep my stuff. That's what that is saying to us. Got nothing in the house but a little jar of oil. But this, again, is for our example so that we can see how we can talk ourselves down. What person would have a house, husband, and children, and an empty house? Where did they sleep? Where did they put their clothes? Didn't they eat sometime? There should have been a table or a chair. The lady had a house full of furniture just like everybody else, a normal family would have. But the least valuable thing that she had in that house was a little ball of oil. That's all I'm willing to get rid of. In other words, man of God, I want you to help me, but I want to keep all of my stuff. I want you to help me, but I want to keep all of my stuff. Are you listening to me? What are you doing? Nothing. No. Nothing is not anything. Everything is something. I'm standing here. I'm talking to you. Oh, I'm just looking up at the wall. You doing something is going on. There's no nothings. So you see what I'm saying is the woman devalued everything that God had blessed her with. And then when she ends up with nothing, then how did I get it? What happened? You spoke it. You lived it. This is where we have to get into the Word of God and start speaking spiritually rather than just talking, because we talk ourselves into disruption. Poverty too, everything. We just, nothing, I ain't good for nothing, I got nothing. The woman said, I got nothing in the house but oil. The least valuable thing in my house is oil. Would have been her response. But she said nothing but the oil. Now God, again, wants us to see that what we think is the least with him, it can be the most. This is written for our example. This is written for our example. She said she had nothing. And then he said, go borrow vessels, pots, pans, jars, pails, pitchers, vessels, things that hold stuff. Go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Do not gather just a few. So if you don't gather just a few, then you have to gather many. So that's what he's saying. Go everywhere from all of your neighbors, empty vessels, and don't just get a few. Then, he says, when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. We'll stop here. So that we can say, he told her to go and borrow vessels from everywhere. Not just a few, but as many as you can get. And then when you get those vessels, go in and close the door behind. Be private about it. Don't tell nobody nothing. He didn't tell her much, so she couldn't tell people a lot. You see, because if he tells her what is about to take place or what he wants her to do with those vessels, she will never accomplish what God wants us to know. Now imagine if she came to your house and asked you for all of your empty pots and our pitchers and pails, anything you got that I can pour liquid in, loan it to me. And you say, well, what are you going to do with it, honey? Well, I got this little jar of oil that I'm going to pour into. Well, all you need is this one pot. You don't need all of these pots for that little jar of oil. And right away, she rationalizes and realizes, you know, that's the truth. If I got a little jar of oil the size of a relish bottle, why would I need a 2-gallon pot? So I'll just take the one and go on back home. Waste my time getting all of these vessels. But see, she didn't know what the man of God was going to do. So she was what? Obedient to his word. Obedient to his word. And she went and got the pots. And to close the door behind her. Nobody knows what she's doing with those pots. And he's not in there with her either. Just her and her sons. This way, God gets all the glory. God gets all of the glory. But she must be obedient to his word. So she go gets all of these pots, and it says, so she went from him and shut the door behind her, and her sons who brought her the vessels to her, and she poured it out, poured the oil into those things. Now it came to pass when the vessels were filled that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. She poured that from that one bottle into all of those vessels. And as soon as all of the vessels was full, no more oil came out of the jar. What was the least valuable in her house became the most. She's filled all of these vessels. Now what she do? He gives her a three principle situation. Three principles, he tells her. Sell, pay, live. He said, now take that oil in those vessels and go out and sell it. Then pay your bills, your debt, and then live on the rest of it. I hope that you're following or tracking what he's saying here. That the woman had enough oil from that one jar to pay her debtors off, save her sons from going into slavery, and then they could retire and live off the rest of it. Just live off of it. But it was the least valuable thing that she could come up with that she had in her house. God took it and made it the most valuable. When we cut ourselves down to be nothing, the least, God can take and make us the most. But we have to follow his word. We have to be true to his word. We have to trust him, and we have to operate in the faith that he's given us and using whatever he has given us. So this is why we started this morning with what do you have and what are you good at? Whatever you have or whatever you're good at will be what can set you above the place that you find yourself today. But you have to trust in God, and you have to listen to his call, and you have to obey his word. Again, the woman could have missed it. She could have missed it had she just known. And you see what I'm saying here? The more we know, the more dangerous we are. Because we know too much. Instead of paying attention and listening and always being open to what God has provided. Oh, no, I've heard that before. Oh, no, I tried that before. Oh, no, I seen that on TV. Oh, I heard that. No, just listen and follow God's lead. All things are possible through him who loves you. If we knew what the outcome would be, we'd short-circuit it. If I knew that I was going to be a millionaire this tomorrow, see, I'd leave town and get away so nobody could find me, so you guys wouldn't take all my money. But because I don't know, when it falls on me, see, I'll be standing here with it, so now I got to share it with you. The more we know, the more dangerous we become. When we want to interject our thoughts, we want to interject our knowledge, we want to let everybody know what we know. Be still and know that he's God. Listen to his words and be obedient. And the least what you think is the least, God can make it the most, but you have to surrender it to Him. God's gifts are good for His people. He don't give them to you just to have. I'm the best mechanic in the world, but I ain't fixing nothing. You just got to take my word for it. You got to fix something. You have to be available and you have to be willing. Moses would still be in the backwoods herding sheep, but he answered God's call. When we know the story, he left everything. And now all he's got is what he's wearing, I guess, and a stick, a rod. Nobody's going to listen to me. I'm nothing. God said, go. And he has given us that mandate to go into all the world and make disciples. What do we have? And what do we know? And how are we using it? Are we using our substance to bless others, our resources, to bless other people? Are we using what we have to do God's work? When we begin to do that, we will begin to soar. And this is what he's wanting us to be. He wants us to be our best because we are his best. We are God's most valuable treasure. So let's stop arguing with him. Oh, I ain't no good for nothing. How you feel today? Oh, I feel terrible. I just don't know if I'm going to make it through the rest of the day. Everything's gone south on me. No. I'm blessed. Well, why are you blessed if you're looking like this? I'm blessed because I'm still alive and I can get better. And because I trust in the Lord, I know it's coming. Some people argue with you. I'm blessed and highly favored, you say. And they say, no, you ain't. You just asked me to take you to the store. How's that favor? Because God sent you to take me. That's how it is. God sent you to take me. I'm blessed. We got to always interject that excitement in our lives. God is life. And we keep speaking death into everything that we come up against. I don't know what I'm going to do about this tomorrow. I don't know what. You're not supposed to know. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. So why are you any different? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Nobody knows. Tomorrow has its own set of circumstances and its own way. We have to wait till tomorrow get here so that we'll know, because we're not promised tomorrow. We may not even be here to have the opportunity to decide what we're going to do tomorrow. I'm talking about an attitude of praise and worship. Praising God and giving him thanks for what you have and what you know. And always give him thanks and praise for what you have and what you know. Oh, I'm on my way to the hospital in this ambulance and I don't know. Hey, I have been truly blessed. The 911 people sent the ambulance here and I'm on my way to the hospital. I'll be all right after a while. You got to look at it positively. Everything. Because in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. This is all we have to think. We have to get it in our hearts. We have to get it from our head to our heart so that we can live. That's what life is. Live. And you can have a great life, but you have to speak life. Speak life. So stop cutting yourself down and don't ever tell anybody that you're nothing or you don't have anything or you ain't got nothing or you're doing terrible. God has given you everything that you need to sustain life on this planet, and he's not going to let you down. He did not come and die just so you could be despondent and broken, kicked around. He wants you to be the best you can be, and through him, you can be.